It's important to say at the outset that there have been no, repeat, no instances of visitor contamination or sickness from asbestos at the Smithsonian Museums. That said, a recent article in the Washington Post told the story of Richard Pullman, a longtime exhibit staffer at the Smithsonian's Air and Space Museum. He's filed suit against the Smithsonian for failing to tell him and his fellow workers about the presence of asbestos in the unseen areas above exhibit galleries. That's because his doctor has diagnosed him with asbestosis, a lung disease pegged to exposure to asbestos fibers. On Wednesday, Smithsonian Secretary G. Wayne Clough testified on the problem of asbestos before the House Administration Committee. And without addressing in detail Pullman's pending lawsuit, Clough did have this to say about his situation.
We are certainly concerned by Mr. Pullman's health and well-being, and we take his complaint seriously. I assure you, he has been and will continue to be treated fairly and equitably. Any worker at the Smithsonian has the right to call attention to safety issues on the job and always will, and that's written clearly and plainly in our policy.
The Smithsonian Museums are located in buildings that range from the Red Castle on the Mall, that's more than 150 years old, to the American Indian Museum, not more than 5 years old. In between are numerous museum buildings, some of which were constructed during a time when people were unaware of the hidden dangers of asbestos and when it was a common building material considered safe to use. Since 1990, Clough says the Smithsonian has spent more than $15 million for asbestos abatement. Now he outlined a multi-part program to step up asbestos safety for employees and museum volunteers alike.
First, a complete review of our asbestos safety policies and procedures to include interviews with workers and oversight by an independent outside workforce safety expert. This will be underway shortly. The expert will report directly to the Office of the Secretary. And to ensure candor, our workers are going to be free to make anonymous comments. Second, to validate the effectiveness of our annual environmental safety assessments, which, as I described, seem to be in good order, but we will conduct an independent review of these processes. Again, the independent expert will report directly to the Office of the Secretary. Third, for all current and former Air and Space Museum employees who believe they might have been exposed to asbestos in the performance of their work, we will provide free medical screenings as well as consultation with a known outside expert. Fourth, asbestos safety will be an agenda item at every bi-monthly meeting of our safety coordinators, and they will keep museum directors apprised of the safety issues if they arise. Fifth, in addition to the carpenters, plumbers, welders, pipe fitters, electricians, and others who have already received mandatory asbestos safety training, all exhibits production employees have been mandated to undergo similar training. Sixth, any current or former Smithsonian employee or volunteer concerned about asbestos-related disease is welcome to visit our health service office, free of charge, to discuss any questions. And we are going to bring in a medical expert to provide a lecture on these issues for all employees that will be made available on our intranet.
Following Clough to the witness table was a panel of experts, some retained by the Smithsonian, who are part of the asbestos abatement effort. Last week, another Washington Post article outlined instances of asbestos and other known toxic contaminants exposed during the renovation of the American History Museum. Here, California Republican Dan Lundgren, ranking minority member of the Administration Committee, questions Bill Brennan, vice president of Turner Construction Company, one of the prime contractors on the remodeling project.
Mr. Brennan, I think I heard in your testimony you say something to the effect that you expected to maybe have 40 instances where you would run into asbestos, and you had multiples of
250.
To what do you attribute that difference in assessment versus what actually occurred, and were there some real surprises over and above the number?
There are two things that contributed to it. One, at the point in time that we did the above-the-ceiling investigation, we were still in the process of designing the actual work that we were going to install. So where the drawings may have said we were going to tie into a piece of ductwork here, when we actually got the design completed, maybe we were 10 feet away. And that 10 feet could have made a difference between an incident and not an incident. The second was a major surprise, and that all the steel beams in the building were encased in concrete. And we looked up at that and saw no exposure whatsoever. And when we got in there and we started taking the concrete off to attach new steel, on the steel was lead-based paint underneath the concrete.
Following the hearing, I caught up with Administration Committee Chairman Robert Brady from Pennsylvania.
Well, the problem, my understanding was he's going to do everything he can to rectify it. It happened way back when under, you know, not under his watch, but he has a building that has, without question, potential asbestos. Any old building has that. And I was reassured that he's going to do everything he can in his power to make sure that they, any movement, whatever they can do to encapsulate it, if they have to encapsulate it, to remediate it, and make sure that that building is safe for the employees and for the visitors.
Mm-hmm. You satisfied with what you heard today, sir?
Yeah, but we're going to talk a little bit further. I still want to know what happens to these bags. You know, I mean, we may be recycling these things at the landfills, then they pick up the landfill and then put it back in the building. I like to know because, to tell you the truth, in my instance, there was some remodeling done on my own house, and they took the asbestos out in the bag and they put it in a municipal dump, and it got mixed in with everything else. The bags got broken up. I'm going to look upon some more, maybe some measures that we need to do for these landfills. And that landfill was a municipal landfill. That's why I brought up the question.
Brady adds he'll be watching for the outcome of the Pullman lawsuit in the months to come. On Capitol Hill, I'm Max Kakis, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.